Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have something for each of us tonight. I pray, Father, that you would help us, strengthen us. Lord, speak to us through your word. And Father, maybe you be glorified as always in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one night a wife found her husband standing over their baby's crib as she watched him at a distance silently. He stood looking down at the sleeping infant, and she saw on his face a mixture of emotions of disbelief, amazement, wonderment, and joy. Touched by this unusual display of emotion, with eyes glistening, she slipped her arm around her husband and she said, "A penny for your thoughts." He said, "It's amazing. How can they make something like this for $49.95? Well, men and women both have emotions, but they can certainly operate differently at times. They get excited over different things, but we all have emotions. It's part of who we are, and this is a really awesome thing. It's one of the ways that we were created in His image. Jesus came and revealed the Father to us. He was God in the flesh, and Jesus certainly had emotion. He wept over Jerusalem. He was angry when he drove out the money changers. His emotions were, in fact, quite intense at times. Not just a little bit of pity he felt, but he had heartbreaking compassion. Not just a little irritation, but it had to be somewhat of a terrifying anger when he made a whip and then ran everyone out of the temple. Emotions are, well, wonderful. They really are. It's an amazing thing that God made us this way, to feel emotion. It's a little bit simplistic to say, but emotions add feeling to life, right? I mean, without any emotion, life could at times just be kind of boring. A group of motion picture engineers classified the following as the 10 most dramatic sounds in movies: a baby's first cry, a blast of a siren, the thunder of breakers on rocks, the roar of a forest fire, a foghorn, a slow drip of water, the galloping of horses, the sound of a distant train whistle, the howl of a dog. And there's one sound that causes more emotional response and upheaval than all the others, has the power to bring every human emotion, sadness, envy, regret, sorrow, tears, and supreme joy. It's the wedding march. I don't know, I was thinking about boredom. Oh, I'm sorry, ladies. Any of you guys want to say amen with me on that? All right. Moving right along. I don't want him to do my wedding. Anyway, I don't know about you, but I really do enjoy emotion. Most of us do. And I want you to understand that I'm prefacing, you see, what I'm going to share with you tonight and teach on tonight. I want you to understand, emotion is a wonderful thing, but, okay, one more just for fun. There was a young man who, in his youth, he professed a desire to become a great writer. And when asked to define great, he said, "I want to write stuff that the whole world will read, stuff that people will react to on a truly emotional level." He now works for Microsoft writing error messages. Yeah. Well, all right. Emotional experience in our society has become the primary motivation of actions and sometimes values and even spiritual beliefs. You know, people are encouraged to, well, release their emotions, to give their feelings absolute power and sway over their decision process. And we live in this attitude, well, it's not new now. I mean, it's been going on for at least 40 years. But they say, you are what you feel. We don't need to return to a society where man could never express emotion. That's not biblical. Jesus wasn't that way. We don't need to suppress all our emotion or consider emotion as a bad thing. But we do need to put our emotions in perspective, and we need to bring them under the control of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you look at all the terrible things going on in our world, I can assure you that much of it is the direct result of uncontrolled emotion. People that have just allowed their emotions to take control of their life, and they do terrible things. Today there was a murder-suicide at a college campus. I don't know what feelings were driving that act, but probably feelings of despair, depression, and others, but somehow or another, feelings had to have played a part, no doubt. Just a few days ago, a car driver, intentionally drives over a motorcycle in an act of road rage. How is it that this has become a common term, road rage? It's anger that's out of control. In fact, the Bible talks about it as a work of the flesh, the outbursts of anger. What's going on in our world? I'm telling you, for so many, their lives are out of control because their emotions have taken control of their life. And the problem with allowing your emotions to be in control is that much of the time, our emotions are directly influenced and controlled by our flesh instead of by the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to always be in control of our life. We want to be led of the Spirit. Those that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. But you know, it's nothing new, but it seems to be so much a part of our society. And I'm telling you, it's a huge part of the problems of our culture. It just shows up in every way imaginable. You talk about all of the problems with the family today and marriages today. And there's 1,000 different ways of looking at it, and 1,000 different, you know, people come up with 1,000 different causes and reasons. But I'm just telling you that one of the biggest things is that marriage used to be based on a commitment. We call it a vow. And us preachers, we're pretty, you know, hard-nosed about this, that it's going to contain something to the effect of until death do us part. In fact, I used to be a little more flexible, and I never had it happen, but in the day and the time that we live, I've become less flexible about the vows. You know, if you want to write your own and make up some wishy-washy baloney, have somebody else do your wedding. I really am going to have somebody else do my wedding after all. But see, marriage used to be about a real commitment. It was a choice. It was a decision. It was an act of the will. Till death do us part, good times and bad, for better or worse. It was a vow, a commitment. That was the basis of a marriage. And now, you see, society has said, oh, well, those are just words. It doesn't mean anything. Well, you don't even need to get married. It's all just about how you feel. And a lot of people, if they were to honestly write their vows would read something like this. I'll stay with you as long as I feel like I do today. I'm just telling you that this whole attitude, and well, it's more than just an attitude. This culture of emotion rules the day. It has infected so many areas of our life. And we as God's people, we need to be wise. We need to be aware of what's going on and not allow. You know, sometimes we just kind of get caught up in the sweep of what's going on in our society. And we don't even realize it. But I'm telling you that it is something that has just infected every part of our lives. If we're not watching, if we're not aware, for so many people, emotion takes priority over their commitments. It takes priority even over their convictions. People will just set aside their convictions for how they feel at the moment. It's that, oh, if it feels good, do it. You just let it all out. We live in a generation that prides itself on being controlled by emotion. And then they go to church when they feel like it. It's amazing. Carmen and I, we talk about it, and other ministers, pastors talk about it, and it's so epidemic. I haven't talked to a single pastor who says, oh, our church members come every Sunday. I don't know of such a church anymore. They don't exist anymore. In fact, a lot of pastors say on any given Sunday, we have a third of our congregation there. That's amazing. And how it weakens and cripples the body of Christ and limits the effectiveness of the body of Christ. Now, I realize there's some other factors there at play where society has propagated and the religious culture of America has propagated this idea that the local church it doesn't mean anything and doesn't matter. It's not scriptural, but it's the attitude of the day. But part of what plays into that is this whole mentality that it's all about how I feel. It plays out in people being committed to be involved in an area of ministry. It's amazing how people can get on this roller coaster spiritually. It all comes back to this. It's how they feel. They're up and then they're down. One day they're all fired up. They're believing God. The next day they have crashed and burned. Why? Because their emotions are driving their life. One day they're on fire for God. They're ready to do something for God. A week later, they're out of church. What happened? They base their faith on emotion. By the way, faith is not an emotion. It is not some weird mystical feeling that sweeps over you. If you think that, you are never going to have faith for very long. Your faith will always be driven by the wind and the waves. And James says, it's chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. He says, let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. No, our faith has to be steadfast. That we stand and believe God. No matter how we feel, we choose to trust God and believe. It's faith with works. It's faith that's acted upon. It's faith that you choose. Feeling-based Christianity. It'll never get you where you want to be. And I want to say again, emotions are wonderful. even in spiritual things. I love to feel the presence of the Lord. There's nothing like that feeling. But you know what? He is there even when I don't feel it. I like it when I'm preaching and I get just, you know, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's not just chill bumps, but it's like an anointing, and I know that God is speaking through me. But you know what? Even when I don't feel that, that doesn't mean that God isn't using me, because sometimes it's in weakness and it is in my own personal struggle that then it means the most to a certain person, or sometimes two or three people will say, that was for me. It was like God was speaking to me. And I'm just like, really? But I've learned that it's not what I feel. And I'm telling you, we've got to realize that feelings, emotion is a wonderful thing. You see, when you're worshiping God and you're excited and you're filled with joy, and oh, that's wonderful when you feel. But what a sad thing if people come to the place where they only worship God when they are stirred by the music. I remember we attended a church one time. They had great music and great worship. And there was a certain song. It was really kind of cool. And the bass guitar would do a couple of certain licks on this song, you know. It was really cool, you know. And there were some people who would, every time that they played that lick, they'd be like, woo! Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong or sinful, but I'm telling you, that's not spiritual. They were stirred by just the music itself. And as I said, I'm not saying that's sinful, but I'm saying that that's not real worship. Because I want to tell you something, real worship is not based on how you feel at the moment. It is based on who He is and what He's done for you. And I want to tell you, He's always worthy of your worship. So even if we don't have the greatest worship team in the area, we do. But even if we didn't, see, I mean, if you showed up one night and it was me with the guitar, and I'm telling you, that would really be lacking. You should still worship God the same. Because it's not based on how you feel. It's based on how worthy He is. Because you see, we're so caught up in this culture of feelings. They're wonderful. But you got to keep it in perspective, and we have to put our feelings under the control, under the subjection of the Holy Spirit instead of the other way around. You know, even when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you know what? That's where a lot of error comes when it comes to the Holy Spirit, is people put it on some kind of emotional level. They think if they're emotional, that's the Spirit. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit does not move just through your emotions. He's much bigger than that. And our emotions, as I said, too often are given to what's happening in circumstance. There's so many things. You talked about music, but there's so many things that can stir and move our emotions. It may not be the Holy Spirit. You just can't live your life based on feelings. Your life will end up heading the wrong direction, out of control. Our feelings are just too quickly influenced by the world around us. Instead, we have to live by God's word. There's a story about a large jet, Air Force jet, that went down, crashed, and An Air Force officer explained what happened. He said that at times the atmospheric conditions can confuse a pilot where they lose the sense of direction and perspective. They may even feel like they're flying upside down, even though their controls are telling them that everything is all right. And if they start going by what they feel instead of what the controls are telling them, they can end up in a crash. And you know what? It's exactly that way with our lives. If we just live by what we feel, we will certainly end up in a crash. But we got to live by the Word of God. We got to trust God's Word that no matter how we feel, it is right. It will always be true. You got to be wise and discern the difference between our feelings and the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit. They're not the same. I'm telling you, our emotions so often just respond to the world around us, and the Holy Spirit will communicate to us and lead us in the direction that our Father wants us to go. But it's the Word of God that will always keep us on track. If we look to the counsel of God's Word instead of just going by our feelings, I'm telling you, it will keep you from crashing. Your life just always hands you ups and downs, but we don't have to be up and down. This is not really a spiritual story, but it illustrates the point. It's an old Chinese story about a farmer who had one old horse that he used to plow his fields. And one day the horse escaped into the hills. And when his neighbors heard about it, they sympathized with him and said, "Boy, bad luck." Well, the farmer said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" A week later, the horse returned with a herd of wild horses from the hills. And this time the neighbors congratulated him and said, "Wow, good luck." The farmer said, "Good luck, bad luck, who knows?" Then the farmer's son was attempting to tame one of the wild horses, and he fell off its back and broke his leg, and everyone agreed that this was very bad luck. And the farmer said, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" Some weeks later, the army marched into the village and forced every young able-bodied man to go and fight in a bloody war, and they saw the farmer's son had a broken leg, so they let him stay, and everybody was really happy for the farmer. They said, "Wow, good luck." The farmer said, "Good luck, bad luck, who knows?" But here's my point, really. You see, when life happens to you, there's all kinds of ups and downs. I mean, one minute it looks good, and the next minute everything, man, what happened? In just a day, things can go from to great to bad and then to good again. But here's my point. You don't have to be given to the up and down. No, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can stay on that even keel. How much better than to be tossed by the circumstances of life? The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:11 says, "I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in, whatever the situation, I'm content." I'm not there yet. Are you? I'm working on it. You see, he was just the same all the time. He says, "I've learned to be content. It's good. Times when he had plenty, times when he didn't have enough, I'm content." He knew that God would give him the strength for every situation. But if you back up in that same chapter to verse 4, and 5. In fact, I want to read this from the King James Version. I don't think some of the newer translations really quite get it here. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." When are you supposed to rejoice? Well, when you feel like it. You know, when they start playing that song you like. No, always. Always. "Well, I just don't, you know, I've been down." Well, let me tell you how to start turning that around. Rejoice. Just get your eyes on the Lord and the good things that the Lord has done and how wonderful He is, and just start rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I want to tell you something. Moderation means you stay at that even keel. You're not given to wild swings of emotion, but you're at even keel all the time. Listen, the ship is at even keel when it's level, when it's tossed to and fro. It's not staying at even keel. And you see, in our lives, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can stay at even keel. Our moderation, let it be known to all men. And here's what he said. He says, the Lord is at hand. See, God's with us. So no matter what's going on in our world, we know that everything's going to be all right. We know that he's going to bring us through to victory. But we got to choose to let the Holy Spirit control us instead of our emotions. Galatians 5:16. In fact, let me just turn there real quickly. You can too, right? Because we're going to read some more in Galatians 5. Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What's the key here to overcoming the desires of the flesh, that old sinful nature? The key is that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. You walk in the Spirit. You allow him to take control in your life. You know what? When you read the Bible, one of the people that was so given to emotion, I mean, it's one of the things that I think made him a leader. It's one of the things, he's very charismatic, very emotional, and I think very demonstrative. I'm talking about Peter. Peter was one of those guys, I mean, he would always be the one to jump up and say something. I mean, he was the one to say, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you out on the water. You know, so Peter, he's the one that said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was just that way. I mean, when they came to take Jesus in the garden, Peter was the one that jumps up with a sword, takes a swing at the guy, and wasn't a very good swordsman. He just got an ear. I'm sure he was going for the whole head. He wasn't going for an ear, people. I mean, this guy was emotional. But he was given to these swings. I mean, it's just a little later, the same night, that he's saying, I don't even know him. And he was cursing. That's like some Christians. But he didn't stay that way. What changed? He was filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit changed him. Oh, he was still a fireball. But you don't see those times anymore where he went off the end, off the deep end in depression. No, those times didn't happen anymore. It didn't matter if they put him in prison, didn't matter if they persecuted him, whatever they did to him. No, he served Jesus and he just kept right on preaching with joy. And I'm telling you, the key there is the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you go on down to verse 22 and 23, it tells us that this is what the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. Self-control. Not out of control. See, the world is out of control. So many people, their life is out of control. Terrible things happen in their life, all because they lose control of their emotions, or they make emotional decisions. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And I want to read on from there. He says, against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now I want you to understand, not all feelings are bad. Certainly I've made that clear tonight. But we also need to see here that when we truly allow the Holy Spirit to be in control in our life, then we don't allow the desires of the flesh to control us anymore. He says, they've crucified those. Put them on the cross. They don't allow that to be their Lord anymore. No, the Holy Spirit is in control of their life. I just want to mention to you that so much of the time our emotions are very closely connected to our thought life. And it's very important, the thoughts that you think. Most of the time, if you are thinking a certain way, it will feed your emotions in that direction. And that's why the Word of God is so important in keeping your emotions in check. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Yesterday afternoon, we had this like 3.5 inches of rain out at our place in a time of about 30 minutes, and I watched the water come, right up close to the house, and I watched the creek get about 175 feet wide, and I watched it all going over the road, and, you know, I felt kind of overwhelmed. It makes you feel quite helpless, and it in a way, I just kind of felt depressed because I just felt like, how am I going to deal with some of this? And, you know, there's a scripture I preached Sunday that came to my mind, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works together for our good, for the good of them who are called, who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And I just was thinking, well, I don't know how any good comes out of this, but I'm trusting you, Lord. And, you know, I walked down there this morning, and I was looking at things, and we've had this stuff called creeping primrose. It's just been kind of taking over our creek and our pond, and we've been working on getting rid of it. It's been kind of a monumental task, and I noticed that about 50% of it was just swept away, and I was like, Lord, what a blessing. Hours and hours and hours of work, but I'm telling you, you know what? You see, if we just allow our emotions and our thought life to run free, I'm telling you, it'll take you the wrong direction. But when we get our mind back on God's Word, it will stabilize you. It will, listen, it'll stabilize your emotions if you get into God's Word. You go to the doctor and they give you a bad report, you know, and your emotions can just begin to go crazy and your thoughts are going crazy. But if you'll go to God's Word, I'm telling you, it will stabilize your emotions. You bring them in check by God's Word. Line them up with God's Word. Woman and her husband not getting along too well, and the husband speaks to her gruffly and doesn't seem to appreciate her, and she goes to work, and there's a man there who's always speaking kindly to her and always complimenting her, and she begins to think that, you know, maybe there's life outside of my marriage. Maybe there's something better. I'm not happy, and God wants me to be happy. I think I need to get a divorce. How did all this start? Well, first she was feeling rejected and neglected by her husband. Then she goes to work and she feels appreciated. I'm just telling you, her feelings started taking control of her decision process. She didn't make her decision based upon the Word of God. She didn't make her decision based upon the vows that she had made, but instead she allowed her feelings. I want to tell you something. Don't ever make a decision when you're in an emotional state if you can help it. See, don't hook up with somebody when you're feeling lonely. Bad mistake. Don't make a business decision or a big purchase when you're just all excited in the moment. Nope. Sleep on it. Pray about it. Search the scripture for guidance. It's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I'm just telling you, you can't let emotions rule your life. And I even, listen, good people. I'm talking to good people tonight. Church people, Christians, Spirit-filled people. I'm a preacher. I know some people think all preachers are after their money. So am not. In fact, I'm just going to say this. Don't give when you are emotionally stirred to give. Because you can get to the place where, you know what? I mean, there's so many needs in our world, and you know, some of them are real, some aren't. But you know that preachers know it's been going on a long, long time. You can put pictures of kids on the TV and talk about certain things, and people get stirred emotionally. Obey God in your giving, not your emotions. Be directed of the Lord. Obey Scripture and let the Holy Spirit lead you. But the Holy Spirit is not synonymous with your feelings. Oh, you know, I see the enemy tries to use feelings of guilt to manipulate Christians all the time because, well, we want to please God and we don't want to be guilty. We want to do right. And, you know, if we feel guilty, then, oh, here's the answer. Pray, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and look to the Word of God. But don't make a decision just based on emotion. Don't quit your job when you're mad. If you're angry with someone, it's best to wait until you've had time to pray about it before you deal with them. And that includes your spouse or your children. Listen, don't deal with them if you're really angry, but pray about it until you can get that under control. Take control of your emotions. Psalms 42 and 11. You find many passages like this in the Psalms. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And I want you to understand that all of us feel emotion and negative emotions. And David expressed that many times in the Psalms. But he turns it around. He says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Why are you disquieted, O my soul? Why are you cast down? Hope in God. See, don't let yourself just go with how you feel, but instead turn it around. Line it up with God's word. Take control of your feelings, your thought life. And I'm telling you, you'll be taking control of your life, putting it under the control of the Holy Spirit and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you be dismissed. Father, I just thank you that you are Lord. And we declare that in this church. We declare it in our homes and in our lives personally, that we want to submit ourselves to your lordship in every way, to be under your control. Jesus, help us, oh Lord, to be strong. Lord, when we're weak, that you would give us strength. Lord, that we won't just be given to our desires or emotions. Oh, but Father, we'll be wise in this world. And we'll respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit rather than to react to men and the circumstances around us. And so, Father, I just thank you that you are in control of our lives. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will just remind us of this word tonight. Lord, in the times when we need it most, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. Lord bless you.